3 and verse 12. En disaste.
Un.
Un.
Hoc.
Ex lectoi.
Ex lectoi.
Tu.
Tu.
Viu.
Viu.
Agioi.
Agioi.
Kai.
Kai.
Aga. Fei. Minoi.
Aga. Fei. Minoi.
Blog. Na. Oi. Termon.
One more time.
Quab na.
Quab na.
Quab na.
Quab na.
Oit termon.
Oit termon.
Kreis to teta.
Kreis to teta.
That's like teto. To teto on the end of it. And then ta pe no pro sine. That's a hard one.
Ta pe no pro sine.
Okay. And then ta teta.
Ta teta.
Macrothenia.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we're actually going back over this one. It says, second person plural, you all, bind up or dress, actually dress up in, it means to tie your clothes on. That's what it literally means. You tie clothes on your back and you tie shoes on your feet. That's what you do. Shoes in Greek are called underbinders, something you bind under your feet. You tie them on. Well, it says, dress up in, therefore, as picked out ones, chosen ones, elect, ones picked out. God calls every man to salvation. All men. Every man is called to salvation. 1 John 2 and 2 says, even John Calvin, even with all his hyper-Calvinism and everything that he taught in the beginning of his life and later on in his life, he finally wrote a commentary on 1 John 2 and 2 where it says that Christ died for all men, not only those that come to God, but all men. He died for all men. Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary, died for the sins of every man that ever lived in this world or ever will live until he comes up. Well, God calls every man to salvation. Not all men come, but he calls every man to salvation. Well, out of those that he calls to salvation that do receive him, that do repent of their sins and call upon him, there's a second call. And that's the call of truth. That's where you are called then to serve him. And there's only one place to serve the Lord, and that's in New Testament churches. I have never met a perfect New Testament church, nor is this one perfect where we are today. There are no perfect churches. It's because they're made up of imperfect people. But the Lord, his plans for those churches were perfect because they are little democratic governments ruled under the laws of Christ to carry out the commission of the administration of his kingdom in this age that we live in today. So you're called out of the lost world. You're called into the grace of God. Then you're called to serve him. You're called, and the first thing you can do to serve the Lord is to be baptized and join that church. That's what you do. And that's what the term elect is. There are two elections in the Bible. When it talks about election, Israel was elected by God, picked out to be his witness, his administrators in his kingdom during that period of time. In the New Testament period of time that we live in today, his churches are the elect ones that are carrying out the laws of the kingdom. They are administrators of God's kingdom in the world today. That's the two elections spoken of in the Bible. The chosen ones of the God, holy, all right, and having been loved. Then it says, bowels of compassion, phlogia, that means the very seat of affection and compassion and kindness. This word, kreistoteta, is the same root form that means grace, free gift. Then humility. Now, when this word was used earlier in the book of Colossians, it was a a false humility, but here is a genuine humility. And then meekness and long-suffering. Meekness and long-suffering. Humility is a fleeting thing. My wife loves me very much. And that's a blessing. I just see it in her air. She looks at me and she just adores me. Well, she always says that people don't give you enough credit for what you are and what you've done. And I said, this doesn't matter to me. If I don't get any credit here, I'll get it in hereafter. And that's the way it is. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. But once you get to thinking about that, then you are humble, but then you're no longer humble. Humility is a very fleeting thing. We serve Lord, we study God's Word for one reason. That's so we can serve the Lord better and we can lead people to the Lord and we can care for others in Christ. God leaves us here in this world. He can take us out of the world when we're saved, if He so saw fit to. But He leaves us here for one reason. That's to lead others to the Lord. We're bought with a price. That is more precious than gold and silver and precious stones. And that is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And when we're left in this world, God loans us our life from that point on. Your life is not your own. We like to do things. How many of you have hobbies? Hobbies. Yeah, we have hobbies. And we like to do certain things. The Bible says if you really want to be happy, do what you love doing for your job. If you really want to be happy. Robert, did you like being a mechanic? Do you like being a mechanic?
Mm-hmm.
I see a couple of cars down there you don't have to work on, but it must be a labor of love. You must like doing that. And in reality, you've got a radiator shop and work on radiators and all kinds of cooling systems and things, and that requires a certain amount of mechanics. Well, it ought to be fun. What you do ought to be fun. You like being nursery? You like that? By the way, I met George Candidate today. George Candidate. How many knows what I'm talking about? How long? Okay.
A
long time ago. Candidate's Nursery out on Path Highway. They had the monkey. Had a monkey cage out there. You did probably before your time the other day. But they had monkeys out there, and that used to stop everybody. They'd come out there, and I remember going out there when I was a little old baby kid, looking at the monkeys out there at Candidate's Nursery, watching the monkeys. And we used to go look at the fish over there at Crowder's Nursery. The monkeys at Candidate. Well, anyway, I met George Candidate, worked at John Deere, working on my tractor. That was pretty neat. You like flowers and you like trees and things like that. That's what you should have been, Marilyn. You should have been a horticulturalist. You would like that. Joe likes that, doesn't he? All right. Whatever you like to do, if your mind wants to work, do things that, if you like to think, do things that'll make you think. Try to figure stuff out. Whatever you do that which you, the Bible says, be the best at it. At what you ever are, whatever you want to be. And before you can be the best at something, you've got to almost like doing it. You got to enjoy it. If you really want to be happy, then find the occupation that you want to do. And if you possibly can, find the occupation that's also your hobby. That's having fun every day. That's pretty neat, isn't it? All right. But God doesn't leave us here to have fun, specifically, but to live for Him. Now, that's just kind of like the cream off the top of the kettle, the old bucket. Remember when we used to get milk from Mrs. Webb out there? The top of that milk had cream floating on it. You know, the cream was as smooth as paste and stuff. Down at the bottom wasn't so good because that was watery milk. The cream. Well, if you do what you like to do, that's just the cream. But the Lord leaves us here for a reason. Now, here are the things that you're supposed to be doing, what He leaves you here. All right? Anek kol minoi.
Anek kol minoi.
Alelo.
Alelo.
Kai.
Kai.
Kalizo minoi.
Kalizo minoi.
Hiatois.
Hiatois.
Yan.
Yan.
Tis.
Tis.
Pros.
Pros.
Tina.
Tina.
Eke.
Eke.
Mom. Fain.
Mom. Fain.
Pathos. Kai,
Kai,
Ho,
Ho,
Kyrios,
Kyrios,
Ekkaristako,
Ekkaristako,
Himen,
Himen,
Hukos,
Hukos.
That's a beautiful, beautiful verse. The first one is a participle, it's nominally plural masculine, present participle, and it's middle voice, and it's actually direct middle. Alright? And what it means is forbearing one another, holding one another up. I was talking to a young boy the other day in a Sunday school class. He said, you know, he said, I needed to join a Sunday school class. He said, we're all weak in the faith. And he said, we need others to come along. We need to find things to do that are Christian things, or else we're going to go out there. He said, I found out one thing. He said, you're either a missionary or a mission field for the world. If you don't get in church, if you don't do the things that God wants you to do, you're going to be out doing the things of the devil. You've got to keep your hands busy doing good things, all right? Or else you're going to be out doing the things of the world, worldling things, okay? And he said, we need to help each other along and help each other out. So we have get-togethers and we do all kinds of stuff, and we do Christian things to help each other out. Otherwise, we'll be out there doing the things that we did before. Holding each other up, that's what this means. Bearing one another up. All right? Keeping them going in the right place. One another. It also not only means to hold each other up, but sometimes we have to correct each other when we're wrong. Correcting each other, saying you're wrong. That's wrong. The Word of God, when you go to church, you find a sinner that's even a child of God. You ever hear of the prodigal son? That's a part of the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son is not a bad boy that became a son, but it's a son that became a bad boy. Let me say that again. The prodigal son is not a story of a bad boy that became a son. The prodigal son is the story of a son that became a bad boy. This son, he became a worldling. And he wanted all of his inheritance right now. So he went out and he got to go to, I heard old Jay Vernon McGee talking about the part of the son. Did you hear him saying that on TV or on the radio?
I think I've read it.
He said he was saved when the preacher was up preaching. He said he talked about the prodigal son going to the bingo parlors and to the casinos and to the bars and to the houses of prostitution and every bad thing that you can think of, the dance halls and everything. And he said this preacher was up preaching all that kind of stuff. And he said, boy, they had everybody bawling in there because many of the parishioners had been going that way. And anyway, when he made an altar call, here he came running down there. And this is a rush hour. But he said he was really preaching it from the wrong way. He was talking about sinners that was going to come home to God. No, it was children of God that went out in the world. And God wants you to come home. Because the world will beat you up. You're not going to get anything out there in the world from the world. The world's going to take everything from you. What happened to the prodigal boy? What did they do to him? What did the girlies do to him? Took everything he had. What did his buddies do to him? Took everything he had. What did the high life do to him? Put him in the pig pen. Eaten with a hog. And you know, hogs are unclean. They didn't, you know, the Jews didn't want to keep company with a hog, so he was out there eating with the hogs. Because he was out there wallering with the hogs. He was out there wallering with the dogs. And he was a son. Well, He finally realized where he was, and he went home, and where was the Father there? Father there waiting for him with open arms, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, we need to be waiting for open arms for our brothers when we come in here. Remember here the other day when that brother came in here and ran up here and kissed me and was crying and going on and everything else, just holding on to me, asking me to forgive him and everything? He got out there. That was his son that had become a bad boy. But he came home. He's still home. That's good. Forgiving one another. That's what the next one is. Forgiving. Non-plural action. This is constantly forgiving for ourselves, one another. Forgiving one another. Now, you don't forgive one another until they repent, by the way. You know, when you're out there in the world and you're a child of God and you're out there doing things you're not supposed to be, the world just does it. But when you're out there doing things that you're not supposed to be doing, God's not going to forgive you because you're still doing it. So you're going to get beat up by the world. All the things are going to go wrong. Things aren't going to be right for you. If you're a child of God, everything is going to be down around your neck all the time. If you're lost, you're just going to wallow around out there as a hog because you are a hog. But if you're a child of God, that's not the place for you. Forgiving yourself. How many of you ever did anything wrong after you were saved? That you don't forgive yourself for. Did you ever make mistakes in your life? Bad choices and all that kind of stuff that you just can't forget about, that you ask God over and over again to forgive you? Well, don't be a fool. God already forgave you. Now it's time for you to forgive yourself and just go on. That's what Paul said here. Forgive yourself. God forgave you, now forgive yourself. And go on. And help others that go that way. Just don't do it again. And then we have the word eon. Eon is a third-class conditional. Condition undetermined but with a prospect of determination. Colossians 3:13. And you can read that small print. Yeah. Well, you've got good eyes, but it has to be that big for me. Then I have trouble. Forgiving yourself. And then it says, if. Now, this is a conjunctive conditional particle, third class. If. Anyone against you. Now, it's possible that someone might have something against you. It's possible. In a third-class conditional, it is possible. All right? Now, if it was a first-class conditional, what would it be translated there? Come on, you scholars. If it was a first-class conditional, condition determined as fulfilled. Sense. But no, this isn't sense. Somebody has something against you, but it's a possibility that they might have. If anyone might have a complaint. Now this word, malmathane, this is quite a word here. It means to blame another. It means to, this is, by the way, is the only time it's used in the New Testament. You're not going to see this word anyplace else in the New Testament. Paul uses it here only and nobody else did. Okay? It means to shift the blame of something onto you. Anyone may have a complaint with you, just ask. Kathos. That comes from kato and hos. Two words. Just as also. Now that also there is a like a particle of affirmation. Okay? It's used as a cumulative particle and a particle of affirmation and also a conjunctive particle. It also means a hand, but here it means also. Also the Christ, ho kyrios, ikarisato. What in the world is ikarisato? What does that word ikarisato come from? Charismai.
Grace.
Grace. Just as Christ shed grace upon you for himself, middle voice, by the way. God can only show his love for us one way, and that's by becoming human. Now, God didn't become human so he could understand humans, by the way. I heard a preacher preaching that the other day, hogwash, heresy. What it is? God didn't become a human so he could understand humans. God is omniscient, isn't he? If God wasn't omniscient, would he be God? No. All right, he's that word, he knows everything. If he didn't know what it felt like to be human, he wouldn't be God. All right? But God became human for us to understand that God understands us. Don't say, I can't do it, because Jesus did it. He was in flesh. God became human. So he suffered all of your temptations just like you do. Jesus knows what it means to be hungry. Jesus knows what it means for a best friend to betray you. Have you ever had that happen? Best friend betray you? To the point of murder? To the point of selling you? Selling your life? That's pitiful, isn't it? The only one in the Old Testament was foretold of the disciples in the New Testament was the one that would betray the Christ. Judas Iscariot was foretold of. Mom Thane complained, just as also the Christ he forgave to ye in the same manner. That's the way we're supposed to give also ye. All right? Also, Chi, again, also, that's a human particle or a particle of affirmation, also, or yes, indeed, ye. Now, you have to supply the verb at the end. It's not there. Ye, he forgave you. You forgive others in the same way you forgive them. All right? That word forgave is there.
It's interesting the King James supplies the word must instead of should.
Must.
Which I think is better, actually.
Well,
I don't know.
If anyone may have a complaint against you, just also as the Christ, he forgave you, to you in the same manner also you forgive. The word forgive is not there in the second part of that verse. All right, but it's understood to be there. It doesn't say must. It just says do it for yourself.
If you were going to supply a either must or should forgive, which one would you select?
Well, let's go back all the way back up. Holding one another up and forgiving yourselves. Don't ask God to forgive the same thing over and over again. Forgiving yourselves. And if anyone against another, or anyone, he may have a complaint, just as also the Christ, he forgave you, to you in the same manner. And it doesn't say anything. There is no voice. There is no verb there. You have to supply all that. So what do you do? What is the verb up there? Third person singular, first aorist, indicative middle. All right. Since if he forgave you, then if you supply the verb, what would it be? What person would it be? Paul was talking about Jesus. He did. Now, if he's talking to you, what's he telling you to do? Who is you?
Second
person singular. All right. For you to forgive. Now, is there really a mode there? Is there an imperative mode? Or is there a subjunctive mode at all?
No.
That's all conjecture, isn't it? Because it isn't really there.
Right. Who would theologically would you prefer based on the section? Must forgive or should forgive?
May forgive. Because sometimes we don't do it, do we? What is it? What condition do we have here? It's a third class conditional, isn't it? Could or may or may not. Mm-hmm. All right. John.
I'm saying should.
Good.
Because if you believe in Jesus and you have your heart, what he's told you, you know, you should.
Yeah. But Christ did it. we were yet sinners, he forgave us, he died for us.
Right.
Okay? That's the theology. See, this is a verse that you have to supply the verb, so it's all in your thinking. But now let's go back. If we got to supply the verb, then the verb that we're going to supply comes from the verb that we have. He forgave us. He, first Harris, that's punctuating action. One time, he forgave us. Okay? Punctuating action. Third person singular, he did it. All right? Now, it's in the indicative mode. That's not imperative, is it? He did it. He forgave us. But what voice is it in? It's in the middle voice. Middle voice means he did it for himself because he loved us, he forgave us. So if we love our brothers, we forgive them too. Huh? But it's not a must.
So maybe you will. Maybe you
should.
Will forgive.
Should.
If Jesus forgave you, you'll forgive your brother.
Yeah, you should. You should do that. But it comes from the middle voice. So the middle voice is what? That's the volition. There's your volition. It all depends on the person. But what did Christ do? He forgave us for himself. It was his own doing. So when we forgive a brother, whose own doing is it? It should be ours. It should come from the heart. It should come from our heart. All right. That's where you have to really figure, and that's where the grammar comes in. You know what? I don't know whether I ever, some of you have been here in my Greek class for a long time. We just went through a theological argument in a super advanced reading and research Greek. I'm going to tell you that right now tonight. Because I have never had anybody ever ask me a question this deep before. Now, it may not seem deep to you, but when you've got to supply the verb and the voice and the mode.
Maybe it's saying, just a possibility, that if you don't forgive your brother, then maybe Jesus hasn't forgiven you. Or you haven't.
Now, that Jesus said that. Now, Jesus did say that, but that's in another place. In Matthew 6 and 12 and 14. That's what Jesus said. But that's not what Paul said here. If we say that's what Jesus said, that's what Jesus said. All right. But this is Paul talking here. And we can get all of these other ideas there, but if we go straight grammatically from strict Greek, that's where we're going from. From strict grammatical Greek. Not theology so much, but right now we're going to carry the grammar on. And if we carry the grammar on indicatively, like we should, we may forgive or we may not, because it's a third class conditional. A lot of people don't forgive each other, but we ought to. We should, as Christ forgave us. All right. Yes,
Brother. Did you say that you should, if you're in argument or something, you should clear it up with that person before the sun rests?
Well, it says let the sun not go down. Your wrath. That's talking about personal between your husband and wife things. But don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That's a good idea. Don't take care of your problems before you go to bed at night, because you don't sleep good if you do that. Now, the Lord is looking out for us. Excellent. All right. If you want to, go back and read Matthew 6, 12, and 14. You want to do that? Someone want to go there? But that's really, you can cross-reference this to that, but grammatically, that's not what it says here. We should do that, and it should come from us. Now, what Jesus said back over there was a totally different story. All right?
It always breaks it down to the heart issue.
It's from the heart. There's volition. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't... see, you have your hyper-Arminianism, which is all volition. I mean, everything is emotion and everything, all that. And then you've got your hyper-Calvinism. Some place in the middle is the truth. Because it takes both. There was election, as we looked at tonight, a little bit earlier. But there's also volition in everything. In every place that you talk about repenting, or that talks about calling out to the Lord, it all is in the middle voice or something. It's all volition. It's all in the subjunctive mode. And God didn't put it that way without a reason. Colossians 3:14. Yes.
I can read this real quick.
Yes.
Matthew 6, 14 and 15.
Yes.
Says, for if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions.
All right. Now go all the way back and find out who is he talking to. Everything else. Let's go back up in that. Go back up in that first.
Because finally we've got to find out who's speaking, who's he speaking to. Figure it all out.
The Lord here is using Paul to speak to the church at Colossae. Okay? Matthew. Katamathion.
What's the reference?
Matthew.
Chapter 6.
Matthew 6, 12 and 14. Matthew 6, 12 through 14. Let's look at it. All right. Now, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Okay?
Would it flow in more?
Do we have the Beatitudes? Or you have to go all the way back. We have the Beatitudes in chapter 5 and the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus continues to speak, to talk to his church. And there may have been others there also. He said there won't be a jot or a tittle of his word, not a yod or a point of a yod. Go away from his word. He talked about how to deal with your brothers. And this is where it says, don't call your brother a fool. And by the way, the word fool there actually was, you're not damning your brother. That's literally what he said. You be damned. He said, don't say that to your brother. That's what he said. Don't call him a fool. That's translated today that you shouldn't damn your brother. You shouldn't say things like that. We hear people damning each other all the time today. All right. Matthew 6. He talked about the Lord's Prayer. He talked about fasting. He talked about true treasure. All right. And in verse, he's really preaching. Therefore, not do like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask it. Don't do like the heathen and vain repetition, but pray simply. It says, pray in this way, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but snatch us out from the evil. For if you forgive men for their transgressions, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. In 1 John, John, the Apostle John, wrote Gospel John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the book of Revelation. In 1st John, he said, if we can't forgive our brothers and sisters, which we know and which we see, how can we understand the forgiveness of God? How can we understand, if we can't forgive on the eye-to-eye level, horizontal plane, how can we understand the forgiveness of God? Have you ever forgiven somebody of something? And by the way, I keep hearing about a lot of sermons on forgiveness. But when you forgive somebody, they come and ask you to forgive them. I had a man do some pretty bad things to me one time. He was a church member. One of the church members with me in this church right here. And he did some pretty rotten things to me. He was going to scam me, is what he was going to do. And I called him on the carpet, and he repented, and he asked me to forgive him. And you know what? I was bound to forgive that man, because he said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I did. So therefore, I must forgive him, just like it never happened. Because that's what Jesus does. I don't have much choice of that, do I? Because he asked me to forgive him. Now, if he kept on going like that, would I really have to forgive him? No.
He didn't want me to forgive him. He never asked me to forgive him if he'd have just kept going in the same direction. But since he repented and he asked me to forgive him because he had done me wrong, and then I could have said, no, I don't want to. You're a rat. I don't want to have anything else to do with you. I can't do that.
Can you say that forgiveness is conditional?
Well, it always is. Do you think God's going to forgive you if you don't repent?
No.
All right. It's plain, isn't it?
Yeah.
Conditional. Forgiveness is conditional. God doesn't forgive anybody if they don't forgive. But if they repent, but if they repent, God forgives them. Now, if somebody did you wrong and they repent and make reparation for it, can you still hold it against them?
No.
You cannot. You can't do it. You cannot do it.
How often does that happen?
Well, it happens. It'll happen in your lifetime, I guarantee you. Sometimes this will happen. You will really have to apply this sometime in your life. You're going to have to apply this.
What if somebody doesn't repent to you, and you still got that hurt in your heart, and you still try to forgive them?
Well,
is it just forgiveness? If I force myself to forgive them or talk myself into it because I know I shouldn't hate this person?
If you ever have this bad feeling? Yeah. First of all, number one, this is another child of God that this is talking about.
Well, I'm not.
But this isn't the world. This is a child of God.
No, no.
Okay? We're supposed to be savvy with the world. The Bible tells us to be savvy. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's lots of parables in the Bible and different things. It's really weird. Some of the things you can talk about mammon and all that and the unrighteous servant that went out and the Lord was going to call him on the carpet and fire him and everything else. He went out there and did these dirty deeds and everything. That the Bible talks about things like that. But when a child of God, another church member, does something wrong to you and repents, you must forgive them. You must, yes.
Even if they don't repent and we consider them an enemy, then they fall under the category where Jesus says to love your enemies. So we still have to do good to them.
Well, he was talking to the Jews there where he's talking about the Romans.
That's what I'm trying.
The Jews and the Romans. Now, I'll tell you what, bitterness eats you up inside.
True.
But you need to be savvy. You need to understand that not to be a fool either. Don't let people use you, all right? Because people are out there. There are two kinds of people in the world. There are people that are human beings, and then there are cons. There are people that take people. There are leeches, all right?
You can forgive them, but leave them alone.
In your own family, a lot of times, you have to just steer clear to stay healthy and keep the money in your pocket. You have to. You have to.
I had a situation in my family where I have to steer clear of a certain place.
It doesn't mean you don't love them. It just means that you just have to just
My wife always tells me you need to forgive her, and I keep telling her, well, you know, when she is sorry for the deeds that she's done, you know, forgive her.
Yeah.
But until then, I want nothing to do with her.
Yeah.
She's poison.
Yeah. You sometimes it's good to stay away from poison. Don't go drink from a poison water hole. All right. 3:14. We've covered that one somewhat. Epi. Pasin. They. Tutois. Tain. Agapain. Ho. Estin. Sidesmos. Tais. Talio. Tetos. This is a beautiful verse. Why do you forgive? Upon all, or because of all of this, then the verb has to be supplied again. Understood there from verse 12. Because of all of these things, or one thing stacked upon the other, the love. The agape. What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this agape here?
You mean like unconditional?
This is unconditional love. This is the sacrificial love. Which is, all right, and I can put a word in there, which is the glue that binds. That's what love is, what makes everything hold together. If anything holds the church together, it will be because they love each other. That is what will hold people together. Love. That's what holds families together. That's what holds everybody together. It's love. That's why a man can forgive an angry wife. That's why a wife can forgive a half-wit husband. You know, I mean, all of the wives think their husbands are half-wits at some time or another, don't they? Huh? And wives, I want to tell you something about wives. Wives, you really got to watch what you say around wives. Because if you say the wrong word, or if you don't absolutely facilitate that phrase exactly right, it might be wrong. And then, on January the 12th, 1972, she'll remember that until 2002. And she'll remember exactly what you said. Absolutely.
And she'll remember what clothes you had on.
Yes, sir. And if you had shaved or not when you said it. Well, it goes both ways. We see those things. We agree. But love is what helps you gloss that over, do a paint job over all of those old things. I was listening to a preacher preach the other day. And this is so true in so many people's lives today. As people that have been hurt so many times by their families and everything. And we're going to get into that here just real soon. Talk about family. It's just going to be talking about churches right now. Then it's going to be about mothers and sons and daughters and family and children and wives and husbands. We're going to get into all that real soon. And the Lord's going to pour it on us. But love is what holds relationships together. That's the thing. Love, which it is, the binding together. That which holds things together, the glue that binds. And then it says, teleotetos. What in the world is that teleotetos? What does that mean? It means end. That's what it means. Remember what it means, Brother Jerry? It comes from telos, huh?
Okay,
end.
But what's teleotetos?
Teleotetos. Well, this is, it means maturity, the end result. You ever wonder why bad things happen to God's children? Do you understand why you're put in positions that you're put into? Well, I was really smart when I was young. Had a couple of doctors underneath my belt and everything, and I really thought I had a brain. And I said, I made a statement one time, I made a wonderful statement. A man is the sum total of all his experiences and how he has reacted to them. That was a kind of a, what we call a, psychological evaluation.